You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, we are doing a very special edition of This is the New Shit today.
Yep.
And I guess he said it was a bit of a slow week this week for new releases. And last week, we probably have the biggest album, I'd say, of the year coming that came out from Bring Me the Horizon.
Yep.
The band that seemingly everyone can't get enough of. Talking about listening to a very polarizing band at times, a band that I think I don't want to say I was critical of them last week when we spoke about it.
I think you were pretty neutral.
Yeah, fairly neutral. I think that, you know, I was a big fan even initially when they were doing the, you know, deathcore, super like aggressive stuff. I really liked the band. And as their albums went on, and I think when it came to like Scent Maternal, that release, I felt like that was their pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely great, great record.
100% agree.
And then, you know, they started experimenting a little bit. You know, That's the Spirit record, and then Amo, or however you say it.
Mm-hmm.
After that, after, you know, those records, they took on a little bit of a different sound. And now with the singles they released and the speculation of what this album was going to be, and the album, for people that don't know, and I'm sure lots of people listen to it, maybe everybody here listened to it, it's called Post-Human Survival Horror, in all caps.
Great album name.
Yeah, well, so I didn't know this, but I read that this is like a series. This is the Post-Human series that they're trying to do with, I believe Ollie Sykes said, four EPs.
Yeah.
And this is the first of four. So this is kind of like, you know, I feel like I listened to the record and I didn't know that. And I kind of, now that I know that, it's put the record in a bit of a different context for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I was looking at this. It's a nine track, 32-minute album, fairly short. And one of the tracks is kind of like an interlude. So we're only talking about really eight songs. So that's kind of in that strange place where it's between a full-length album and an EP. It's hard to call it one or the other.
I agree with that.
Anyway, you know, but back to what I was saying about the content, you know, we heard a bunch of singles from this, and I think they were all very solid, and we were expecting a lot from the record. So before we get into the nuts and bolts and track by track, and we're going to get into all of that, what were your initial thoughts, Mike, when you listen through this record for the first time?
So listening to this record for the first time, I was honestly pretty ecstatic. I don't know if you heard what happened to me, but obviously being a UK band, they decided to send out the download codes at midnight UK time. So I got to listen to it at like 8 o'clock US time. And I was just absolutely ecstatic that I got to hear it. Whatchamacallit? Once I like started listening to it and everything like that first way through, I mean, my happiness was just there the entire time. Absolutely great album. On first listen, I was honestly blown away. I wasn't taken out of it every time one of the singles came on. I was still in love with every single one of them.
Right.
Absolutely. Just first thoughts, first listen, great album. What about you?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I think the record is stunning. I think it's, you know, and I know when we talk about the subject matter of the record, which I'm sure we'll, you know, discuss, for it to have, you know, this frustration and this anger to it, I really think that that's what we needed the Bring Me the Horizon album to be right now. You know, I don't think them putting out like a record like the last two would have spoken to all of us collectively, if that makes any sense, the way that this album is speaking to us. And I think that's a good segue into the first track, Dear Diary.
I mean,
a great intro. And then it's like, oh, fuck, here we go. And it's safe to say Bring Me the Horizon are still a metal band.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think this is their heaviest track since Sempiternal, if not since There Is a Hell. Like, I think this rivals some of the heavier tracks on Sempiternal as far as heaviness goes. I love that it's a shorter song. They threw that guitar solo in there that I absolutely loved. Just a nice little deadly.
Absolutely.
It comes out of the gate too with just lyricisms that are just absolutely incredible. Like, God is a shithead and we're his rejects. Like, right out the gate. So pissed off. And I absolutely love it.
Well, yeah. And this was my note. So I took some notes obviously while I was listening to this. And I wrote, so I'm a minute into this record and there's already been a banging riff, a double time beat, a blast beat, and a Slayer-influenced guitar solo. If that's not action-packed, then I don't know what is.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree.
And we haven't even gotten to the bass riff, right? That, that bass riff and that tone comes in, and then a huge riff. Like, oh, dude, like, this song, I mean, honestly, what an intro track. What a lead. Fuck. And I'm so glad as a fan of Bring Me the Horizon, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this can relate, even if you're not like a huge fan of this band or whatever, but like, I am so glad that they saved this for their fans that are going to listen to this album in its entirety for the first time. They didn't like give this away as a single because the excitement that you feel in this track getting you into the record, it's like when you hear this song, you're like, I have to listen to the whole album now.
Oh yeah,
there's no and there's no way I'm not going to.
My first thoughts, like, I knew Bring Me was coming back with the album, right? I knew that it was going to be a bit of a heavier release. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, like, that's the spirit, maybe like lighter songs on Sempiternal heavy, and they just come out with this out the absolute gate, and I was just blown away. Is so heavy and just fast.
Yeah. And you know, we spoke a little bit about their maturity, you know, and kind of how they've taken these series of steps throughout their career. And a lot of times this happens with good bands that, you know, they don't necessarily like, sure, they might play less of their old songs live. You know, they might like smile and laugh a little bit about their old stuff, but they don't completely turn their backs on their influences, you know, and they didn't. And you can tell, you know, even like when you think about some of the features, and I love Bring Me the Horizon's features because some of them always are so random.
Yeah.
Like the last record that had Danny Filth from Cradle of Filth,
which
and
was
Rozelle,
a great feature.
The rapper Rozelle, which is like, I mean, those are two like straight out of 2001 features. Like that's when those artists were at their peak and they don't care. Right. Like they're going to do that. And this song, I got a lot of a Cradle of Filth vibe, you know, in terms of like some of the drum parts and the really fast, like, you know, double time. Kind of punk, but more like a metal sort of drum feel. And yeah, man, I could talk all day about this track.
I 100% agree. Like, I don't know about the Cradle of Filth vibes, but I definitely got some thrash metal vibes in there with a lot of the drumming that was going on too.
Well, see, for me, and we talked about this a little bit in the podcast group. Somebody posted on the Facebook group, and everyone should check that out, by the way, too. Leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess for all the discussions of all this kinds of stuff. We talk about it all the time. But somebody was talking about albums of bands that, you know, you really, really love one album by a band, but then the other stuff is kind of like meh. Like, not to say it's bad or anything, but like it didn't speak to you the way that one album did. And for me, there's a Cradle of Filth album called Midian, which I think came out around 2000. And for me, that like that album slams. I always listen to it. And none of the other Cradle of Filth albums ever really grabbed me. So maybe when I'm referencing Cradle of Filth, I'm really just referencing that specific album. But anyway, so I'm hearing that, Mike. But I don't know, man. Should we move on to track two?
I think we should.
All right, because this is going to be a while if we take 10 minutes on every track.
It is. I think some of these we can move a little faster, though, because we have already kind of discussed them a little bit. But track two, Parasite Eve. I think this is the most unique song on the album from a songwriting perspective.
Well, this was released, like, was this the first single released?
It was the second single.
So I remember this one coming out, and, you know, it kind of has this rap trap intro that, like, for me, I kind of, like, could do without, to be honest. And then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, here comes this chorus, and it's infectious and awesome, and, you know, they Bring Me the Horizon, they do these little tricks, these little fun tricks, you know, where there's like a little stop, and in this one, they have the little whispers, you know. It's a great example of how they make their songs really fun. And like for me, you know, this chorus is the most important part of the song, but then all these little tricks and stuff, they kind of allow the other parts, you know, like the trap rap stuff or whatever to be in there. That stuff kind of like, I'm not a huge fan of, but it sets the tone for that stuff in a nice way.
And like to kind of go off you with the tricks and stuff, I think that's some of the most fun parts of this song. Like that quick little drop, and then all of a sudden Ollie just says move. And you go into this kind of like pretty generic, like metalcore-ish, like groove metal guitar riff. But because of the way that he says move and there's that stop beforehand, you're just like ready for it. And then like right after the breakdown, how they go back into that ambient kind of electronic that's going on, and then right back into the final chorus. I think that's a fun little trick too.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that. You know, right, there's a part in the song where you kind of feel like it should be over, you know, and then that happens. Then there's this little, it's like a kind of an interlude, like an extra little outro. And you're like, okay, like, I guess they can do a tack on part here, and that's cool. But I'm thinking in my head, I really just like miss that chorus though.
And it comes
and then
back.
And then they give it to you. And you're like, oh, this is genius. Like they did it, and it makes the song. And here's what I like about it too. It makes the song too long, like kind of too long for radio or like as a single.
But you can cut it off like for the radio. Like,
oh, I guess you could, but then you're missing that great chorus, right?
Well, I think what I they mean, do I don't for know. The radio I don't think... is they cut off that like intro kind of clean singing part with, I think it's like a female vocalist singing, and they cut off that. And then they like cut out the like little electronic fun bit and just make it so that it's straight into the chorus again. I think that's how I heard it on Sirius XM. I can't remember though.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think about radio a lot when I listen to music. Like at all. And but I know that there are artists that think about radio and they think about singles, and more so even than artists that think about it, their management and their labels probably think about that stuff. However, I feel like with Bring Me the Horizon, I don't think they fucking care.
No, I think they just do whatever the hell they want, and they make the radio change their song for them in a way that they're cool with, like, or play the whole damn thing, right? Like,
absolutely, absolutely. All right, we're moving on to track three, Teardrops.
Yes. What do you think of Teardrops?
What's that?
What do you think of Teardrops?
Oh, what did I think? Well, so this was a recent single, right? This was the latest single. Yep.
This was the single that came out the week before the album dropped.
Okay. So I missed this one. I didn't hear this until I heard the whole record.
Mm-hmm.
And it started and I thought to myself, maybe this is the one I won't like.
Yeah.
That was my initial thought. It seemed a little bit nu metal to me.
It's Meteor Air Linkin Park.
Yes. And I felt like this was a little like maybe phoned in, like maybe there could have been a little more to it, like a little more substance. But like when that pre-chorus comes in, it's like, oh man, that just grabs you. And then the rest of the song, it didn't let me go.
I don't know what it is too about that pre-chorus. For some odd reason, it just reminds me and earwormed into my head the first time I heard it for like a solid 2 hours. And I just had the song on repeat because I was trying to understand what the pre-chorus sounded like. And I tried like a bunch of other different new metal, like early 2000s stuff to like try and figure out what it was. And I just couldn't find it and decided it's so unique, but still so recognizable as that genre that it made me think I've been listening to this song for like 20 years now, right? Which is, I think, an incredible thing to be able to do with a genre like that in 2020. Like,
well, Bring Me the Horizon, they have this really, really great way of combining sort of clever lyrics with really catchy hooks. And to me, I think that's really their recipe for success. I don't know if people know that. Like people, I think they just kind of like listen to it and they like it and they go, oh, that's like cool or whatever. But there's a way that really can, you know, like the feel of the goosebump feeling that you get when you listen to music. Mm-hmm. They're like the kings of that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, nobody really knows exactly what it is that makes, you know, the hairs on your arm stand up. But to me, I think it's a combination of just their lyricism and their melody. And it's like this song. So here's the thing though, that pre-chorus, I wish it came back one last time.
Oh, I do too.
I feel like they didn't know how good that pre-chorus was.
Mm-hmm. Like the way I wish they would have taken the risk and done the thing where after the last chorus, that's when they redo the pre-chorus for no real rhyme or reason, but once in a while when it's that banging of a pre-chorus, like they slip it in there on you and it just works. And I think just a little trick like that would have been great.
Absolutely.
I agree with everything you said. I think this is the epitome of Bring Me the Horizon not showing themselves off instrumentally, but really showing themselves off vocally and lyrically and allowing Ollie to really muscle up and carry a song.
And when you're talking about the context of the album, you know, like, and to me, that's so important, you know, the sequencing and all that, right? Like this is track three. Let's remember you have track one that came in absolutely banging, track two that had a lot of different sorts of you know, different textures and different styles. And then this song, it to me, in terms of the flow of the album, this doesn't need to be like busy or whatever.
No.
This can tell its own, you know, story in that way, right? So, it's definitely a song that, I mean, I'm looking at the comments here and people are talking about how much they love this song, you know? And so there it is. I mean, we get back to something we've talked about over and over again, Mike, even just in the few months we've done this thing, how important vocals and melody and lyrics really are to a record.
Yeah.
And you can do all the great instrumentation you want and you can do all those kinds of tricks, but it's going to get boiled down to, you know, what is being said.
Yeah. And I think you've got obviously like two main schools of music. You've got people who love lyricism and vocal performances, and you've got people who are more instrumentally inclined. I'm a lot more vocally and lyrically inclined. I know.
Yeah.
I think most people are. And it really kind of goes to show you that when it's done well, it's really, really done well by Bring Me the Horizon.
Absolutely. Let's move on. So track four is Obey featuring Young Blood.
Our first feature of the album.
Yes. Right. That's true. First feature of the album. We have a string of features coming up in the next few tracks. This was also released early on.
Yes.
As a single, but a month ago, month and a half ago, I would say at least.
When they announced the EP was coming.
Right.
So this was the third one. It had a music video as well. I think probably the better music video out of this entire sequence, because it looked like they had kind of gotten out of quarantine a little bit and were able to spend some money on like some fake robots and stuff.
Okay. I haven't seen the video.
It's a pretty cool one. I definitely think this is kind of like in the middle of my favorites on the album. It fits that kind of, I don't know, it's a really exciting radio rocky song, but I still absolutely love it just because of the feel I'm getting from the song. I really like Youngblood's feature as well. I think that this song would be a completely different animal without him, and I don't think it would be as popular.
I agree. 100% agree. The intro, like there's that intro part. It's really, really, really a bright spot of this track and of this record. It's so fast. Like it's not fast. Like it isn't fast. Like track one is fast, but it's fast in a different way that really grabs your attention.
It's got
it really
kind
sets
of,
the tone for the song.
It's got that like rolling riff. I don't know the exact name for it, but like the riff just feels almost like you're on a roller coaster and you're kind of sliding around a little bit, and that makes it feel faster than it actually is.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, I don't know. I don't have much else to say about the track, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was funny is when this first came out, I was doing some work around like some renovation work.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I do that, I'll just put on, you know, like a random playlist on Spotify. But what always happens is I'll put on like something like new punk tracks, or, you know, that's like one of my favorite playlists on Spotify, because they're really cool about featuring some artists that you just don't expect or don't know about. Like it's similar to you, Mike. Like we'll do these top fives and you'll almost always throw in a band that I have never heard of, that most people haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that the new punk tracks playlist on Spotify does that. So what happens is I'm working and I was doing some like drywalling and whatever. And like, I swear, like every three songs or four songs, I'm asking Siri, you know, what song is this, right? To Shazam it to find out. And this song came on.
Oh yeah?
Like right when it came out. It was on the playlist, and I didn't know it was Bring Me the Horizon.
I can see that.
And I really liked it to the point where I was like, oh shit, like who's this band? They're gonna be huge. And I forget what I said.
I think I said huge. Like
and I think I said something like I said something to my girlfriend because we were working together. And I wish I remember the other band, but I said, like, this sounds like Beartooth, but like even better. and then of course Siri says this is Obey by Bring Me the Horizon. I was like, oh shit. So, you know, there's something to be said, right, for like when you completely take the context out of it and out of the record and everything, and you're still like, holy shit, this is blowing my mind. And then you realize like, oh, okay. Like
this is supposed to blow my mind.
This band really does deserve, you know, their success and their love, no matter what, you know, people want to, want to say. So anyway, let's move on to track five. So we're working on to side B here of the, for flipping the vinyl over. I assume that's how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And track five, Itch for the Cute. Cute. Itch for the Cure.
Yeah.
Autocorrect got me on that one. When will we be free? An interlude track.
Yeah. So I absolutely love this. I know we were talking last week about how during that music to listen to, dance to, whatever to EP that they put out, the kind of spoken word thing that Ollie was doing on that like 25-minute track.
Yeah.
And he kind of does that a little bit here too, where it's almost this like mumbled spoken word, and it works for me again. I absolutely love it. I think it's a great little interlude track and really like hypes you up for the absolute monster that is Kingslayer.
Right. Right. I totally. And it could mm-hmm. have been just a part of that track, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's short enough and it has the same elements. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what's with the chipmunk vocals in this one. It's something like I want to be a
Kingslayer. Yeah. Well,
that's what it says.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Baby Metal singing right there. They're just not credited on that song.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what that was. It didn't sound the same to me as the mm-hmm. other vocals, but, and here we go. Everybody's saying, I want to be a Kingslayer.
Yeah.
Which I, at first I thought maybe this was like a Game of Thrones reference.
Mm-hmm.
but I know it's a video game reference, right? Like yep. it's Call of Duty or whatever. Let's talk about the song. You called it a monster.
I was
very excited because I love Baby Metal.
Same.
And it gave me what I wanted, but I'm surprised fans of Bring Me the Horizon are as into this song as they are.
I am too. I think that this is the best song on the album. I think that this is something that I wasn't super excited with because, like I said, I absolutely love Baby Metal, right? I absolutely love Bring Me the Horizon. I didn't know how they were going to work together. And it turns out that when they work together, you get pseudo Enter Shikari, and I absolutely love it. Like,
I kind of feel that. Yeah.
It's just this super electronic, heavy, fast. The lyricism is great. The difference between the screams that Ollie brings out here and on the rest of the record, I think he goes a lot more guttural on this song. And the absolute difference between the lyrics from the Baby Metal Girls and Ollie is just absolutely astounding to me. I love how different they are. This entire song, man, it's just a whole different kind of bop, right?
Like, yeah, it is. And I mean, there's even some Japanese in there, right?
Yep.
I was listening. I double checked because I'm not, like, I'll be honest, I'm not great at mm-hmm. understanding lyrics. I never have been. There's still, like, to this day, there are songs that I love on my favorite records that I've listened to a million times, mm-hmm. and I still get the lyrics wrong.
Oh yeah,
you know, like I still don't know what they are. So I was listening to this one, and I was like, okay. I don't think that's English like that. I'm not that bad at understanding. And sure enough, I checked real quick on Genius and it is Japanese,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a cool element to bring, you know, why not? And I don't know what it translates to. I didn't look that far.
Yeah,
into
I didn't
it,
either. Yeah.
But I like that element of it. And mm-hmm. just as like a fan of Baby Metal, and I'm not going to say I'm their biggest fan, but I like all the stuff that I've heard from them.
Yep.
This really was like a true collab. Like this did give me what I expected for Bring Me the Horizon, you know, X Baby Metal.
Yeah, and saying it's a collab, like 100%. They are both so etched into this track, I think, that like I think they both walked hand in hand down the entire process kind of writing this song. Except maybe maybe Bring Me deciding they wanted to write a song with Baby Metal, and then both bands just all the way down. I really think it might be one of the best songs Bring Me the Horizon's ever done. I need to let it sit with me a little bit more, just because obviously this record has only been out less than a week now.
yeah.
Overall, I think it's just absolutely amazing, though. Standout track on this. I expect it to be on all the core playlists, all the radio stations. It's a massive track.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, how many singles from one record can you have, right?
Yes.
I mean, my goodness.
When the record is this good, the answer is yes, Shane.
Well, let's move on. People say it slaps. Let's move on. Track 7, 1x1, featuring Nova Twins.
Yep.
I was not familiar with the Nova Twins. I don't know if I should have been, but
neither was I.
Okay. There you go. With Bring Me the Horizon bringing out the random features again. You know?
Yep.
I can respect that.
So this song reminds me a lot more of something off of like That's the Spirit era, I think, where it's a kind of more mellow, radio-friendly rock song. Obviously, heavy influence on the lyricism, like that vocal part that he does in the chorus where he's just like, I, and I like butchered that. Obviously, I know I can't sing, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's just this really cool note that he like kind of hits and throws some vibrato on. I think this is unfortunately on the lower half of my rankings for the songs on the album. But
yeah,
I mean, something has to be there, right? It's still an incredible album. I love this song, but it's definitely on the lower end.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's okay. You know, that's okay. I actually noticed that this this song was actually in the top five most popular on Spotify right now.
Really?
So yeah, so it's working its way in there. There's obviously some people that are into this. I really, you know, again, the song, it starts with the trap drums, you know, it's got that like sort of different vibe. You referenced That's the Spirit. That's definitely the time when Bring Me started experimenting more with that sort of style. But what I really like about this song is they do an amazing job of mixing the, you know, the heavy rock, you know, the real sounds, like the real drum sounds with the, you know, in the box computer stuff. And there was a couple times listening through this track, and I gotta say, I think I listened to this one more than any of the other ones.
Really?
Yeah, it intrigued me a lot, and I had to go back and I had to listen to it, and one thing that I was listening for was just the switches, like the transitions between when they go from the, I'm just gonna call it the trap parts, you know, with the electronic elements, to when they go to the rock parts, you know, with the real drums. And I was really, really, really amazed. Like, I even would, when I would go back and listen for it, you know, and I would try to listen, okay, these are fake drums, these are real drums. Like, where's the transition part in this, right? I would just start listening to the song again, and then I would lose like where I was, and then I wouldn't even hear the transition. Like, that's how seamless they were, they're doing that. And I think that if you, if you know, when you go back and listen to the record again, Mike, if you listen for that,
I'll try and do it.
Still have trouble hearing it. You'll still have trouble hearing it. And that is so impressive to be able to like say, okay, I'm going to use, like, I'm going to keep a fake snare drum, you know, in a certain range or in a certain frequency with the real snare drum. So I can go, so they can go seamlessly back and forth without it sounding like a mess. And that to me is really, really quite impressive. And I don't know if anybody else thinks about that stuff or cares about that stuff, but honestly, you don't even notice it. And it's just really, really impressive.
I mean, I think that just also goes to attribute. I know that there's four absolutely amazing producers working on this. I forget the name of the fourth guy who actually did all the final producing, but obviously Ali and Jordan do a lot of the production work themselves. And they have Mick Gordon, who does a lot of like video game music. Like, he did, does the soundtrack for Doom and stuff like that, working on this as well. And I think it just goes to show that, like, when you put that many amazing people in together with this, it's just always going to be something like that, where it's just absolutely incredibly well done.
Yeah, no, no, absolutely. And yeah, a lot of people are loving this song too. And it definitely, there was something about this song that I intrigued me. I need to listen to it a couple times. All right. Well, we got a couple songs left.
Now we do.
Let's get into track 8, Ludens.
Yeah. So,
which was a single.
Yep. This was the first single. It came out, I want to say, the end of last year. It came out for the Death Stranding video game. And that was what it was originally for. It was like one of the commercial songs and stuff like that. And honestly, I still think that this track bops even like a year or so later. It's got a really fun song structure to it that you don't find in a lot of kind of popular radio metal songs. I think the lyricism still works great. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Ludens? Is it still holding up for you?
Well, I wasn't huge on the single when it came out, to be honest. But now that I heard the, you know, I heard the record and, you know, and I really like this album, I'm very happy with this spot in the album.
Yes.
You know, and I'm surprised that they released this as a single, you know, so early when mm-hmm. there are so many other strong songs. But I think it probably the rest of the record wasn't there yet, right? Like,
yeah,
especially with all the references to, you know, to the pandemic and everything going on.
Yeah,
I'm sure that this was recorded, you know, earlier, and they put it on the album, you know, in the second last spot, which mm-hmm. traditionally the second last spot on an album is not where you put your best song, right?
No. Like,
usually there's something you want to say at the end of an album. So the last track is usually something special.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of times the second last track can be kind of the one where the, you know, the song that you're like, okay, I guess we'll stick this on there. Right.
Yeah.
And you can tell, I mean, the production on this song,
it's a little bit
different. As good as the others. It's not as good as the other songs. You mm-hmm. can hear it right away that, you know, I think that just the tones, drums and everything, they just aren't quite as good.
Yep.
So for me personally, like I would have been fine with them leaving this off the album. But if you're going to put this somewhere on the album, I'm really glad that it was here mm-hmm. and not like, you know, track three or something.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it was probably kind of a later add when they were kind of forming the album. Honestly, I think it's still a great song. Like I've said, I personally love it even still from the single, because obviously Bring the Horizon coming back heavy. But yeah, I definitely get what you say with the production. It just sounds different.
Yeah, absolutely. And Corktree Girl says, shout out to Corktree Girl. She says, I think they recorded it in their hotel room when they were on tour. So yep. Yeah, that could have something to do with the production. But mm-hmm. and no, absolutely. I think that this album is a striking album. And, you know, we can start to talk about the overall thoughts before we get into the last track.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Evanescence, Amy Lee, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You saw the collab. You know, you had probably some, you know, thoughts on what this might have been. Mm-hmm. And then you heard it for the first time.
So my thoughts.
And what, yes. And what did you think / feel / what was the look on your face?
So my thoughts originally coming into this were, I mean, Evanescence is, I know a lot of people love Evanescence. For me, they've always kind of been that one or two hit wonder band that I've never really vibed with. I've seen them live. They've been fine. Just kind of always been a little bit too alt rock out of my wheelhouse, I guess I want to say, wherever you want to kind of put them. This song came on and I was in the shower and I might've cried a little bit. It was absolutely beautiful. Like, the lyricism on this track is just absolutely impeccable. I don't know if Amy Lee wrote her own parts or if Ollie wrote everything, but Jesus.
Well, Amy Lee is credited. I checked because okay. I wanted to know that too. Amy Lee is credited as a songwriter. You know, who knows what that really means,
mm-hmm.
but the fucking it up.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. I'm with you, man. Evanescence, not my bag, never been my bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not a nu metal guy. I've never been really into mainstream music. Not that I think they're a bad band.
Yep.
I think she's incredibly talented. You know, for me, I look at this and it was a little bit of like, to be honest, a little bit of like, okay, LOL, Amy mm-hmm. Lee. Then I heard the song.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that just that entrance and her voice, mm-hmm. it's incredible. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, it's incredible. And this is a straight up duet ballad.
Yeah.
It's straight up. Like, I didn't know. I don't think anyone saw Bring Me the Horizon doing this.
No, I thought it was honestly going to be another song like Teardrops or like something like Ludens maybe, or even Obey, where it's just like, all right, we're going to have another hard song and Amy Lee is just going to be a feature thrown on. Because
right.
I don't know if you know how this feature kind of came about, because like Bring Me the Horizon, Evanescence, kind of a little weird, but apparently on the last album, and I figured this out because everybody's wondering why Amy Lee is featuring on this, right?
Yeah.
there is a line in the song Nihilist Blues, and I forget what the line is off of Amo, but apparently it's straight up a pull from Evanescence, and Bring Me the Horizon didn't realize it. And Evanescence, like Amy Lee was like, hey, so I kind of wrote that line like 10 years ago or whatever. And Ollie and the guys were just like, you 100% did. Here's a writing credit. And apparently they like started talking, and then now here we are, right?
Oh, like, that's so cool. I had no idea. I mean, the feature does seem random, but as this is the third time we've discussed in the last 45 minutes, they like to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they like to go with random outside of the box guests. And like, honestly, I just cannot believe how good she sounds, how well this works. The lyrics, just grabbing you. And the only qualm I have with this song is that it ends abruptly. And I wish I had one more chorus just to bring this whole thing home. But I will say this, when records end like this, and there's plenty of great records that do, they end a little abruptly, they end a little bit prematurely, all that makes you want to do,
listen to it again,
flip over that album, put that needle down on the edge one more time. And with this album, I'm sorry, you will do this. This has an incredible like repeat listenability to it. Oh, transition to the next album. Someone's saying it's going to be the transition to the next album. That's very cool. If
that would be
true.
Good.
I don't know if I can remember a band ever doing that. There's got to be. There's got to be bands
I'm sure.
that have done that before.
Like, bands who do double albums or whatever, stuff like that,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Sure, a double album. But yeah, it's very, very cool. And this, you know, I read here a couple things. Okay, so getting like listening to this album and researching it, and reading some other reviews, I didn't want to read too much about it because I didn't want it to sway my opinion.
Yeah.
I wanted this to be my own thoughts when I listened to the album. I didn't want to like lift a bunch of ideas from other reviewers or whatever. And I know that Ollie himself just did a track by track with NME.
Oh, he did.
I read that he did.
I'm
absolutely not going to. I'm absolutely not going to listen or watch that stuff until after we do this conversation. But I did catch, I believe it was Sputnik Music.
Mm-hmm.
They said this about the album. They said, I don't have the quote in front of me, I'm going to have to paraphrase, but they said that this album is like fast food. You will enjoy it when you're consuming it. But then afterwards, it's kind of like whatever. You're going to forget about it.
I don't feel that way
at all.
It's not really
going to stick with you. I couldn't disagree more with that take. And I don't know if that's like they're trying to just have a hot take for us to talk about it. But that is so fucked up. Not true.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gourmet meal as far as I'm concerned. There is so much here to consume, so much here to talk about, so much to enjoy, I think, over and over again. There are the songs that will grab you right away, they'll pull you in, but there is so much here to listen to over and over again.
And I will say, I think I've listened to this album over 15 times since Thursday now, even with Halloween and everything going on. I've got this album on repeat. Every time I hop in the shower, this is what goes on. Every time I hop in the car, this is what goes on. Every time I'm getting ready in the morning, this is what goes on. Every time I hop on for a game of League of Legends, this goes on. Like, I'm absolutely obsessed with this album. I haven't been as obsessed with an album that's come out this year since the Enter Shikari album. I think it's absolutely incredible. It's all I want to listen to. It's all I'm probably going to listen to for a while. I know I had to force myself to listen to some of the other albums that came out last week that were absolutely amazing. Go listen to the new Wild Ways, Driveways, Like Moths to Flames, all great albums in their own right. But this is all I want to keep listening to.
Well, let's talk about those albums in a little bit.
And
we'll get into a couple other things that I know are coming out. You know, this is still, as you can see right here, this is the new shit. We will still talk about that. But this week we didn't have a top five list, just in lieu of this album, you know, just trying to do something a little bit different and talk about this album because it is an important one, you know, for the scene, for rock music. Absolutely. Now, you know, I guess we can just discuss the overall thoughts. If there's anything we missed with this record, I'm going to say right now, Bring Me the Horizon is back.
Yep.
If you ever doubted them, you shouldn't have. I did for a minute, especially with the Music to Listen to crazy EP. You know, that thing was something. And I'm not saying I didn't appreciate parts of it. And I did. I remember last week we talked about the crazy, like, 15-minute spoken word track that I actually thought was kind of a bright spot of that and everything else. You know, they really honed it in. They harnessed this energy and they made this 32-minute, I don't want to call it a masterpiece because that's going to be a little too far.
Yeah.
But they made arguably the best record of their career.
I 100%, I'm not sure if I agree with that because I still need more time with it. Bring Me the Horizon is one of these bands for me where I've absolutely loved everything that they've done. Is it going to be as good for me as Amo or as There Is a Hell, Believe Me, I've Seen It? I'm not 100% sure because those are my two favorite Bring Me records. Okay. If people don't know.
Now they do.
We'll see. I think both of those records give something a little bit more niche, and this record kind of gives a lot of both sides of Bring Me, which I really, really enjoy. I honestly, I do have one complaint about the album. And
yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for like a little, we've been given this thing so much fucking love.
Yeah.
I think any negative thing I said about the record, I kind of just put
passed
a positive
over.
Spin on it.
Yeah.
So tell me what you don't like.
So the only thing that I don't like about this record is that the merch drop for it fucking sucked. Like, literally the merch is boring. Which Bring Me the Horizon is either super hit or miss. It's great merch. It's horrible merch. You'd get no in between. But no, as a whole, like this record, I couldn't find much wrong without going and looking for it. Right.
Yep. I mean, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And in terms of the merch, I don't know if I completely agree. I feel like Bring Me, they're always like just a little bit ahead of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe musically and maybe also in terms of fashion, you know, I don't know if it's because of Ollie and, you know, he's a little more plugged in, you know, with his own clothing company and all that stuff. But I didn't see the merch. I can't really comment on my own personal thoughts, but I will just say that there is a lot of times when I'll see stuff and I'll be like, and then I realize like I'm a boomer and I'm just not ready for it yet.
Yeah. And it's definitely more of that, like, it's just kind of like streetwear kind of looking merch. And I'm not super into that. Like, it's got the hoodie, and instead of just like screen printing the artwork on the back of the hoodie, they've got a screen printed patch that's like sewn so that it can fray over time. And I'm like, all right, that's cool and that's artsy, but I don't really want that. Like, they also aren't selling the patch by itself. So I'm like, I want to buy just the patch. Why can't I do that? But
that's how they get you, Mike.
I know.
But hey, everyone's strugging right now in music.
They're
probably not Bring Me the Horizon. They're probably doing fine. But
I'm sure.
Hey, they got bills to pay too. Probably some big bills to pay.
Oh yeah. I mean, what, Ollie's got a clothing company, goodness. A restaurant.
Does he have a restaurant? That's cool.
Yeah, like he it's like a pop-up restaurant within the clothing company or whatever. So like, if their like inventory is low after a run, he'll just do like a pop-up restaurant for like a week or two. Like, he just does a bunch of crazy stuff.
Cool. Nice. Okay. Well, that's our talk of Post-Human Survival Horror in all caps, the 9-song 32-minute album, which or EP, whichever we want to call it. It's funny, right? They're calling this an EP. And then they also called the like
Music to Listen to
75-minute.
Yeah.
Like thing an EP. I don't know. I don't know what an EP is. I don't know what a full length is anymore. It doesn't matter.
I think Bring Me the Horizon gets a pass, right? Like whatever they want to do with EP album, let them do it.
Sure. And I look very much forward to the next of the series. I always wonder if you know, they say, okay, this is the first of a of a four part.
Are they going to commit?
Thing. Like, yeah, are they actually going to follow through on that? Because I just don't. I don't see it happening. Like, I think they're going to, maybe they do another one and then they get, okay. And then they do something else. Maybe they go back to it, but
yeah,
you know, maybe the longer this pandemic goes on, the more we're going to get,
And
you know,
honestly, like when bands say that they're going to do something like this, I'm really tentative on it. Like, I know Born of Osiris said that they were releasing a double album last year. We got the first, we didn't get the second. A bunch of band, I forget who else. That's just the kind of example that comes to my mind. But I think Bring Me the Horizon is big enough. Bring Me the Horizon is weird enough. And Bring Me the Horizon is kind of like in tune with themselves enough that if anybody is going to do something crazy like this and do a four EP series, it's them.
Yeah. And straight up, like, they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care what we think.
Yeah.
They don't care. They certainly don't care what anyone, don't care. And I like, I just love that about them. Yeah. I just love that about the band. They have literally every step of the way in their career, they have done whatever the fuck they wanted and they've only gotten bigger.
Yep.
And personally, I've only respected them more for it. Even if I liked the band less at various times, like, I wasn't that big on, you know, some of the singles here and there they've released.
Yep.
That's okay. First of all, they don't care, but I've respected them more for doing it along the way. So, there you go. There's our talk. Mike, thank you for your input, and everybody else, thank you very much for being here. But don't go anywhere, because we're going to totally flip this around. We're going to talk about all kinds of other stuff. So, stick around. Right now, Mike, give me some of the other honorable mentions, or I guess just the records coming out this week.
Yeah,
that, you know, that people should also check out.
So, as far as albums go, there's not really anything crazy. There's a band called Fate's Warning. I forget what genre or anything they are. I know they're kind of they've been around for a while. It's not really my vibe.
Okay,
but if you know that band and you're into it, you're into it. There's a really weird project. It's kind of a K-pop project called K/DA, like Kill Death Assist. It's actually a in-world video game band in the game League of Legends.
Oh.
So there's a skin line for a bunch of champions, and they're part of this like K-pop hip-hop group. They're releasing an EP, which is kind of cool, kind of hit or miss. I mean, a couple of these songs have been just kind of trickling out over the years. And most of them are now finally just coming together, which is interesting. I think it's really cool. I love the world of League of Legends. I think it's one of the greatest video games to come out in the last 10 years. It's still being played at a highly professional level in 10 years. 100% going to be a cool project and something worth checking out, because it's kind of cool because they're all actual like K-pop artists, right? Like members from G-Idol are in the band, things like that. But when the music video is playing, it's these characters from a video game universe, which is also kind of just different. I don't know.
Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. What was the name of the project again?
Yes, the project is KDA with a slash between the K and the D.
KDA.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I hope everybody can check that out. That sounds very interesting. Obviously, we're on Twitch. There's probably a couple gamers out there.
Probably.
So, yeah. So that's definitely a cool thing.
Yep.
Very outside the box.
And then obviously a couple of our friends are releasing singles. One of these singles, this came out on Saturday. It's from a band I really like called Until I Wake. I think they're doing some fun stuff with lyricism in the modern metalcore sound.
Yeah.
They sound kind of like if you took Palisades and Architects and put them together, which is a weird thing to say, but it works.
I
think they're great. Makari, probably one of the best post-hardcore bands that nobody knows about. Andy Sizek is the vocalist. He's also the vocalist in Monuments, if you know that band. He's YouTube cover guy. Just kind of, I think he might even be in more bands right now. He's just all over the place. Absolutely talented dude. And then we've got a new single from The Dangerous Summer dropping as well.
Oh, I love The Dangerous Summer.
So do I.
AJ is my boy, and they're a band that I feel like they have shifted gears so much in their career. You never really know what to expect, and I always look out for everything they do because I always like it. I always like it. So that's great. That's great. Is that it, Mike?
Yeah, that's all I've got. I mean,
kind of a slow week.
Yeah, I think it really is. Even though it's not an international event, it is an international event, the U.S. election, all that fun stuff. I think a lot of bands are kind of being smart and avoiding it. The next couple weeks, we're going to be right back at it with the full 5x5 album. Can't wait to talk more about new music that's actually coming out. And not just, well, as much as I love talking about Bring Me for so long, but do something normal.
That's great. We did it.
Killing it.
Mike, thanks a lot.
Yeah, for sure, dude. All this new shit, got a new whip, got some new ice, got some new drip.